Well, today we visit with Florida's most fervent advocate for kids. That would be David Lawrence. We'll discuss the plight of Florida youngsters and the Florida children's movement. Welcome to you, David Lawrence. Good to have you check in on this topic.
Good to be back. Thank you.
First, the movement is citizen-led, bipartisan, and uses no tax dollars. Expand on that.
Well, I'm a big believer in the private sector being a huge supporter of this. The movement was launched in September of 2010. We now have north of 325,000 followers who hear from me about every week.
I get those emails every week.
Okay, yeah. Well, you're one of the 325,000 followers. What we're trying to do, frankly, is to insist that children ought to be this state's number one priority, and they are so far from it you can't even see it. So we can get $51,000 to incarcerate a juvenile, and on the other hand, we can get $2,383 for a voluntary pre-kindergarten program. That's not smart. That's not wise. We can get a road anytime we want in Florida. We haven't had any problems getting new prisons heretofore. If you want to invest in the future of Florida in this country, you better invest in children.
Some of the other more dismal stats about kids, starting that there's 500,000 kids in Florida that have no health insurance.
Yes, which is abominable. In a country this generous, this good, how is it possible that 500,000 or so perfectly legal children have no health insurance? We have spent over the last 11 years $500 billion to bring democracy to Afghanistan. Now, I'm not going to be political here, and I'm not going to talk about the war here. But if we could spend that kind of money to bring democracy to Afghanistan, which I don't think we're going to be very successful at, then we certainly have the dollars to spend on the future of children.
So what's been the roadblock? Is it the politicians?
Well, I think part of the roadblock is that everybody loves children. That doesn't get you anywhere. I'm frequently figuratively patted on the head and told that I am doing noble work. Well, it is noble work, but it's practical work. And so you have a situation where most people think of education in terms of kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and so forth, little understanding the power of the early years. 90% of brain growth occurs by age 5. That ought to tell us something. 30% of children start school way behind in Florida, and then most of them get further behind. We know from the research that a third of all children entering kindergarten can't pay attention in class. That's a big problem. You can't pay attention.
Is this mostly low-income, at-risk kids, or is it middle-class kids?
There's
too?
Certainly a correlation with socioeconomic status. But it's not a total correlation by any means. The reality is that you need to do all the basics starting before birth, and that involves love and nurturing and education and health and so forth. So we tend to think of education beginning in kindergarten, first grade, and so forth. But in fact, the research shows us, and my own experience as a grandfather shows me, that if you do the right things early, including reading with your children, not using television as a babysitter and so forth, you're going to have children who are reading. And once they're reading, they're going to have momentum all their lives.
Now, there's a pre-K program that's voluntary and also free. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's an inadequate program. We're one of only three states with a pre-K program embedded in the Constitution. It was passed with 59% of the vote in 2002, and it went into being in the school year 2005-2006. There are, in fact, 175,000 four-year-olds in the program this year, so it's a very big program. And I'm delighted we have it embedded in the Constitution, but it lacks a whole bunch of basics, or many of the programs lack a whole bunch of basics.
Now, I suppose with the legislative session a few months from now that you'll be in Tallahassee a lot.
I will be in Tallahassee a fair amount of time. Others who work with us will be in Tallahassee. We have representation up there as well. The session coming up in March is a really important one.
How is the movement set up administratively?
The statewide director is a man named Vance DeLupis, who's about as sharp a young person as I have known anywhere. Graduated University of Miami, where he was a student body president, then went to law school, graduated, worked in law for about a year and a half, and decided he wanted to do something more important in his life. I chair it, the movement. Carol Jenkins Barnett, whose family is Publix, is the deputy chair.
The Jenkins family were the founders of Publix, right?
Exactly. Her father founded Publix, as a matter of fact. We have a wonderful young man named John Knight, who leads a huge reading outreach program throughout the state. Another good
young
man.
No relation to the Knight Foundation, though? Or?
Say it again.
No relation to Knight Foundation.
No. Interestingly, his name is John Knight, and John Knight was the founder, but not the same guy. A fellow named Nick Durant, who's very, very sharp, leads the insurance outreach program. A lot of the children who don't have insurance are actually legally entitled to have it. We do a very poor job in this state, that is, the government does, on outreach, telling people what is available and making it easy for them to sign up.
You may have a lot of disadvantaged single mothers who aren't aware of this pre-K service. So I guess it does take a lot of outreach.
Right? Yeah, I'm convinced that parents deeply love their children and want to do right by it, but you got to know what to do. And so if you know, for instance, that talking with your child even before birth is a real world, and certainly beginning in the early months, reading with your child, singing with your child, talking with your child, hugging your child, use going to Publix, for instance, as an early literacy experience. You go there, your child's in a shopping cart, you're counting things out loud, you're showing shapes, sizes, colors. Oh, here's a butterfly, it has wings, and so forth and so on. There's a great literacy lesson to be learned in a grocery store.
We're speaking with David Lawrence. He's the chair of the Florida Children's Movement, and we're talking about his very fervent effort for the benefit of Florida children. This statistic is pretty hard to believe. One quarter of Florida high school students don't graduate. Now, Dave Lawrence, what's left for them except poverty, welfare, or crime?
I went to high school a good number of decades ago.
So when did I.
when I went to high school in Manatee County, Florida, and then college in Gainesville, the U.S. was the number one country in terms of graduation rate in both high school and college. Well, in high school, we're now 21st in the world, and in college, we're 16th. You know, when I went to high school, you could get a job as a well digger. We don't have many well-digging jobs left.
Well, there were big union jobs, manufacturing jobs.
Well, there were all kinds of things that that less than fully skilled labor was necessary. There's simply a whole bunch fewer of those jobs that exist now. I give you this alarming statistic called Mission Readiness and done by a group of senior retired admirals and generals. Three out of every four 17 to 24-year-olds in this country cannot enter the American military. Wow. Have a substance abuse problem, a criminal justice problem, an academic problem, or a physical problem. That ought to scare you for the national security of the country we love.
We're speaking with David Lawrence. We're going to take a short pledged break on our program. Please be generous. We'll be back with more. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. We do hope you'll be generous during this pledge drive and support the regional and local programs that you hear each and every day on the station. We resume our conversation with Advocate for Kids David Lawrence, and we're talking about Florida youngsters and the Florida Children's Movement. What was the first thing you got started on? It was the Children's Trust in Miami-Dade.
Yeah, well, I got started on two things early in this in the 21st century. One of them was with Alex Pinellas, then the mayor of Miami-Dade, and it was the constitutional amendment that was passed in 2002 for every child to have the chance to go to a high-quality pre-kindergarten experience at age four. The second thing was worked on at the same time, which was to pass the Children's Trust, a dedicated form of funding for early intervention and prevention. This year, the trust spent $123 million on behalf of the children of this community, and it has been a remarkable investment. And but we put a sunset in it in 2002 and said, after 5 years, let's see if it can pass again. You'll get a chance to vote on it. And it passed with an even larger margin in 2008.
Like 80%, wasn't it?
No, bigger than that, 85.4%. And if folks say, well, that's because everybody loves children, I beg to differ. I think people do love children, but they want to know, how's my money being spent? What difference will it make? Can I trust you to spend the money, et cetera? And it has led to extraordinarily positive things in this community.
What's your biggest obstacle right now?
Well, what we're trying to do is build a movement. The same things that raised my five children and now my grandchildren are the same principles that everyone needs. You build a movement only when you talk about all children. You never talk about those children. It's always got to be our children. Frankly, I think part of the biggest challenge in some ways is consciousness raising. There are 160 people in the Florida legislature. I assume they or most of them are good people. They have children
parents
themselves, care about children. But when they think about education, they don't understand the power of early investment. You want public education reform in the United States of America, then you better be investing up front early in people's lives, because it's awful late in the fourth grade, the seventh grade, or the 11th grade. So I'm going to alarm you. 44% of all third graders in this state cannot read at minimally proficient levels. And you say, well, I guess it gets better. And the fact of the matter is, more than half of sophomores in high school cannot read at grade level. This is scary, appalling, and it could be fixed. If a child enters, say, kindergarten...
Well, why are teachers passing them?
Well, there's another question about passing them, and there is sort of conflicting research on that. But the real world is that, let's say they aren't passing them, there's precious little evidence that the year after next is going to be much different. That is, the next year, they will make some progress, but they won't make enough progress that gives them momentum in the fifth and sixth and seventh grades. That's what the research shows. You can't make it in this world without the fundamental of reading. And we lose that, we lose everything.
Is there difficulty with such a conservative legislature that's assembled now, that they seem to be more interested in funding charter schools than taking care of lower-income kids in public schools?
Well, if you're going to have a successful future, it better be about all children. And so people can...
I know some low-income kids do go to charter schools also.
Yeah. They get... Well, and charter school is a public school, so with a bit different set of rules. But the main chance here is not charters. It's not vouchers. The main chance is a high-quality education for all children. The reality is that children are frequently so far behind when they enter formal school that most of them get further behind. And good teachers make a difference, ought to save every child you can, but that's not enough. George W. Bush said something that has always stuck with me, which is he talked about the soft bigotry of low expectations. I think our children have done pretty well. Our own children have done pretty well. We expected good things from them, and we worked hard to make things possible for them. If you expect good things, you got a good chance of getting it. If you don't expect good things, you probably won't get it at all. So you mentioned Tallahassee and the legislature. I think the people in Tallahassee need to have a far better sense of how this could be an extraordinary investment for future Florida. Governor Scott talks about jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, this is actually a workforce development issue. It's a moral issue. It's a practical issue.
Tell me, how about getting to young parents and teaching them to be better parents early on? Some of them 17, 18 years old.
You know, you need a license for fishing and hunting, but child rearing, we don't have a license. I'm not suggesting one. The reality is, I'm one of nine children. I think I had sensational parents and great role models, but I didn't take any course in marriage and family. And it's a very trainable subject. So the whole area of parent skill building is one of our five crucial areas.
And I'm sure people who want to learn more about the Florida Children's Movement can go online and Google that and get all the information.
They can get, if they go to childrensmovementflorida.org, they will quickly get information and they will get a number that they can call.
And how about volunteers and mentees? We have so many talented retirees who probably would be great mentors and tutors.
We have, exactly. And in fact, I'm a reading mentor in a pre-K program this year. We have 1,500 volunteers around the state, all trained, working with anywhere from pre-K age 4 to 3rd grade. So once a week, I'm at Cherry Blossom Center, and I'm reading and talking with children.
How's that experience?
Really interesting. You know, I always thought I knew how to read, and I do read a lot.
And a professional journalist and publisher.
But teaching children to read is harder than I thought, and it's not just do you have a certain set of skills, but it's also social-emotional growth. If you can't pay attention, you got a real problem. So I'm now in my, I don't know, sixth, eighth week now of doing this. I love doing it. I work with the same six children every week. I see everybody making progress. I also see significant gaps among the children. So this is the year, finally, to get it right. Some of these children got great set of things from sort of prenatal to age 3. Some didn't get that. And it isn't going to happen instantly. But I've learned a lot about teaching reading.
I guess it's difficult to develop that thirst for reading, which lasts a lifetime.
Yes, and a fair amount of it has to do with, do you have books in the home? Are they part of your lives? How often do you use television as a babysitter? There's no interactivity with television, and children need interactivity for the brain synapses to connect.
Well, it's certainly been interesting to speak with you, David Lawrence, and the best to you and the way you advocate for kids in Florida. You're really quite an asset.
It's a privilege. I feel blessed to be able to do it.
David Lawrence, thank you very much. We'll be back with more. And it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. We continue today's program with an update from a downtown Miami community charity, which offers a lifeline to many in the community. Just as WLRN offers a lifeline of quality listening, we thank those who pledged during the program. It's really important to support the many regional and local programs on the station. And Bonnie Berman can reaffirm the number and website.
Yes, in case you haven't heard it enough, but it's never enough.
We've
it
all
seems.
Heard it enough.
It's 1-866-247-9576. 1-866-247-9576. Or you can always pledge online at WLRNradio.org.
So with us now is Heather Klinker. She's a co-founder and guiding force of Grubstake Good Works. It's a charity secondhand store on Miami Avenue at 23rd Street. Welcome to you, Heather
Thank
Klinker.
You very much for having me back.
Welcome. It's been a while since you've been with us.
2009.
Let me point out also that all the many books that we get here at Topical Currents, we donate to Heather Klinker and Grubstake Good Works.
And we have a great library because of it.
Indeed. So we see all those old trucks in the neighborhood with pink polka dots in the area. I'm always waiting for one to break down in front of me, but what are you up to with those polka dots?
They're still rolling, and the kids did a fresh paint job on them yesterday. So for the art festival, we updated our trucks. 20 years old.
Wow.
They look it, too.
So people say.
How many trucks do you have?
We just have one in a van, and on our wish list would be a nice, you know, slightly used or used pickup truck would be great.
So what's the main focus for your charitable recipients?
Well, we've been in Wynwood since 1999, and basically we deal with poverty, the abject poverty and destitution that exists right here in Dade County and in Metro Dade. We're right down in Wynwood, so we're in that high concentration of homelessness and restarting from the homeless shelters. And so we deal with people rebuilding their lives and also the things that it takes, the very basic things to rebuild their life, like a bed, a dresser, a pot of pan. It's not glamorous like, you know, saving the Tasmanian Arctic butterfly, but it is dealing with the reality on the ground every day with the impoverished here in South Florida.
I know sometimes you're able to help kids stay with, say, perhaps a single parent and not be going to DCF care.
Yeah, that's very classic. We just had one last week where the mother got out of the homeless shelter, six kids, just got Section 8 housing. So you can imagine, you don't have anything, you just came out of the shelter, so we set up everything. We provide all that.
So the authorities can see that there's a stable household there.
And that the kid has a bed and a dresser, and the mother may need a car to go to take the kids to daycare and go to work and feed her kids. It's a beautiful thing.
And do you have addiction treatment?
We help get people into addiction treatment. It's not that easy, so they need advocates to get them into treatment and it's just that's just one of many that we serve, from coming out of the hospital to foster kids. I mean, the gamut of who needs help is amazing.
Heather, what started you on this mission?
I was started with a group of women that were driving down the street, and we realized, wow, we are so fortunate. We have insurance. We have families that support us. We can get help, let's say, if we had an addiction problem. And not everyone is as grateful and lucky as we are. And I think anybody in charity says, wow, I'm so grateful. Why don't I give back to the community that needs it, to the sector that needs my help, because I have something extra.
Of course, we're coming up on the holiday season. What can people do to help out Grubstake? And perhaps they can even do some shopping. It's Miami Avenue and 23rd Street.
24th Street, 24th. Right in the middle of Wynwood. The biggest thing, if I could say, what would I love? Well, first, we're a great charity that is sort of secret in all of our good works, and I would love for benevolent Miamis to say, I love your work, I want to support your work, and write us a check. And on top of that, toys, basic items. For us, a used truck would be great. It's just all the basics of
but
support.
This isn't a place where you can just unload junk. You want some quality merchandise.
Well, we were hip long before hip was in Wynwood. We have really hip thrift stores. Forbes magazine named Wynwood the hippest neighborhood, one of the hippest neighborhoods in the nation, and I agree with our thrift store. We make it really fun, really cool vibe. And so when you're donating to us through that venue of supporting through charity, by donating things, make it cool.
I like your rule of thumb. When donating to Grubstake, ask yourself the question, would you give it to your best friend, and would your best friend want it?
Absolutely.
Great rule of thumb.
Tell me about the financial picture of Grubstake Good Works. I've known you over the years, and I know it's kind of a hand-to-mouth
Yeah, I've gotten things. Really slim and trim over the years. We are an all-volunteer organization still. And I'm very proud of that. If somebody said, what have we done great, we held it together. People want to support winners. We proved that there were winners. But on our part, we've acted selflessly by not taking any money, by keeping it volunteer. And that's a beautiful thing. And, yeah, it's still very difficult. I would love for a philanthropist. Yeah, well, one of those guys or girls to step up and say, I love what you did and how you hung in there. Through those for 8 years, between 15th Street and 36, we were only one of two businesses open, and I am in awe of that. And everyone always says, you know, about my leadership, that, you know, you've had such incredible strength and stamina and perseverance, and I would love to be rewarded the charity with a monetary gift.
What are some of the unusual donations that you've had? I know for a while you had a Mercedes Benz out there. Nickelodeon pianos and knickknacks. You must get a lot of stuff.
I'm stunned by that question. I, you know, there's so many things that have passed through us. I try and we have a thing that the store says the best things in life aren't things. So I really don't pay attention to that much. I can tell you one new thing that's happened at the organization is I went to auctioneering school, and I went for 3 weeks to Indiana with some farm boys and Amish guys and became a professional auctioneer.
Maybe
here.
You could give us a little sample.
$1 million. $1 million going once, twice, three times, sold.
Bonnie.
That would be nice.
Yeah, for a piece of art. What we're doing right now is after we get going here a little bit in 2013, we'll have art auctions on Art Night in Wynwood. So early you'll be able to have an auction. There are not any auction houses left anymore, and it'll be fun. On Fridays I do a surplus auction, and it's basically things that we have triplicates and duplicates of, and we have a good time. We mostly laugh and bid against each other instead of really, but it's more for Heather to practice, and if you come to the auction, you get a great deal.
You must see a lot of both encouraging and discouraging circumstances each day. How do you deal with that?
I cry. I am elated. We just had a gal come in last week, and she just is it's just heartbreaking. And her husband and daughter came looking for her, and that's painful when you know that somebody's out there and that help is so you do, and then you just keep on going because the next person's gonna fill your heart up, and then after that maybe down the road somebody's gonna break your heart.
What happened to her?
She's still out there in Overtown using drugs and alcohol, and we'll hope that she gets I said to the daughter, I said, you know, your mom doesn't want to do this. She has a disease. Nobody wants to be addicted and to be sleeping out on the street.
Right.
You must have seen some great changes in the neighborhood over the past, you said, since 1999.
Since 1999, I pioneered in the neighborhood. It's amazing right now. Right down the street is the Wynwood Cigar Factory, the graffiti bar across the street. It's, you know, Northwest 2nd Avenue went quickly, and now North Miami Avenue is coming along. And it's helped me for all the mistakes we've made and all the, you know, struggles that we've had. Now, finally, the neighborhood is buoying the organization, helping us. People come to the neighborhood and people say to me, I have driven by your store for 10 years, mm-hmm. and this is the first time I've ever come in, and I love your place.
I kind of fell in that way, too.
And the barbecue.
Right.
I'm you know, I love to try different things. This year, it's auctions.
Nice. So when they have the second night or second Saturday, whatever it's called, you're always open during those art events?
That's true. That's one of the only nights that we're open late, and that's when our auctions will be, our art auctions, early at 6 p.m. on art night.
Well, before we go, how about a website where people can learn more about Grubstake Good Works?
The best place to follow us through Facebook at Grubstake Today at AOL. Grubstake means to help somebody out.
And visit at Miami Avenue and 24th Street.
Yes, please, often.
And the website again?
GrubstakeToday@AOL.com.
Heather Klinker, it's always good to see you. Thank you very much for coming by and giving us an update on Grubstake.
Privilege to serve the community. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
We'll be back with more. And that wraps up today's edition. It was produced by Richard Ives, technical direction by Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary gave production assistance and is online producer. Again, please support the regional and local programs heard each day on this station. They give it a unique South Florida flavor. Our pledge line number is 1-866-247-9576. Also, it's convenient to pledge online at WLRNradio.org. Tomorrow, it's Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining with wine columnist Fred Tasker. We'll speak with acclaimed chef and restaurateur Norman Van Aken. He'll talk about My Key West Kitchen. Now today's calendar, on this day in 1915, 97 years ago, the birth of Francis Albert Sinatra in Hoboken, New Jersey. His career took off after fronting the Harry James and Tommy Dorsey bands. He won an Academy Award for From Here to Eternity and 11 Grammy Awards. He died in 1998, age 82. Also on this day in 1946, 66 years ago, Procter & Gamble introduces the first synthetic detergent, Tide. It made P&G the largest advertiser and detergent producer in the world. One more while we remember hanging chads. On this day in 2012, years ago, a divided U.S. Supreme Court reverses a Florida Supreme Court decision which called for a statewide recount of presidential election ballots. It made George W. Bush the president-elect. Our number, 866-247-9576. We leave with a thought from Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board, quote, "Hell hath no fury like a hustler with a literary agent." This is Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Next, Talk of the Nation.
Backed by popular demand, the San